then. Now, there are some of our reviews which feature courses even non-golfers will have heard of. Sunningdale, Glen Eagles, Carnoustie. And there are some that probably only seasoned golfers will be familiar with, like perhaps Worplesdon. And then there are some like today's course that I suspect only top 100 course fans will know anything about. But by the end of today's episode, you will be an expert, because Neil White is going to tell you all about
Senyos, near Biarritz, where we were a couple of weeks ago. I have to confess, I'm in Nottingham now, back at home, but we were in Senyos to get away from the miserable weather here. We were in the south of France.
We're recording this at the end of April, and it's still raining, and my course is closed today because it's flooded. It is ridiculous. But anyway, enough complaints about the weather in England. Tell us all about what it was like in France.
Well, actually, it had been raining a lot there as well over the period of March and at the start of April. And it was just coming out of maintenance week. So there was a bit of sand around on the course, but otherwise this was a beautiful sunny day, about 45 minutes to the north of Biarritz. And yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful course at Senyos.
Now, first impressions count. I've just had a quick look at the website, and my first impressions are, gosh, there's an awful lot of trees there.
Well, it's surprising, isn't it? Because it's very close to the ocean, but you wouldn't know it. You're right. You're inland. And yeah, there's an awful lot of trees, an awful lot of water. There's a lot on your mind as you go around Senyos. It was designed by Robert Van Hagen, who designed Amphitauro. You'll recall I went there about in January time. Very dramatic course in Gran Canaria, but this is also dramatic, but in a different type of way. And we'll get onto it soon. It has the only par six I've ever played in my life.
We will talk more about that as we get to the end of the round, because that's where the hole is. So let's start off with introductions in terms of, you know, how you get there, the welcome that you get there. I mean, we're saying it's in France, but I just went onto the website and their website is in English. So clearly they do expect a lot of visitors from England and, I don't know, perhaps even America too.
Well, I suspect they get a lot of visitors from Spain too, because it's right on the border. This is in Aquitaine, so it's not quite in Basque country. We played at Chiberta a few days before, which is in French Basque country. You could fly into Biarritz. I know there are flights into Biarritz, but actually we were staying in San Sebastian, just over the border in Spain, because we were doing a week-long trip. It's about an hour and a half from San Sebastian, where we were staying, and about 45 minutes north of Chiberta. But it's well worth the journey, and you know, it's a lovely part of the world. We stayed quite a bit in Biarritz and Bayonne during that week. We ate really well, went on lovely walks. It's clearly a holiday area as well. There are loads of great properties around the course itself. So I suspect there's a lot of Europeans, probably French people out of Paris and the like, go there during the summer, rock up for a month and stay, and who wouldn't?
And how did you get on when you started off playing?
Well, we got on okay. I tell you what, the welcome there, it was easy to book a round. Look, we got a round for €50 because it was the end of maintenance week. And let me just say about the cost there, actually. In the summer, it's €104 at peak time. But even next month in May, you can get a round for €79. So this is a really good value round of golf. So booked the day before. Our names were up on their excellent computer board. It's really well organised, but they're a bit miserable. I've got to be honest. We walked in. It wasn't flags out for Mr. and Mrs. W by any means. They looked a bit askance. Yeah, you booked on, they gave us we got a trolley for nothing, which is nice. But there were a few smiles at that point. More so in the clubhouse, but in the pro shop, it was a very very well stocked pro shop. But smiles were few. Anyway, we went out there just the two of us, and we were behind a four ball. We didn't care because we wanted to admire the course, and there is much to admire on this course. It has to be said.
Yeah, just looking at the pictures on the website, there's the usual sort of course guide. So I'm looking at the first hole, and it's a long avenue of trees. But as I say, that seems to be for the situation for most of the holes that I was taking a look through. But tell me about those first opening holes.
Yeah, they're quite reachable, actually, a lot of them. You know, if you get it right, that first hole, it looks intimidating, doesn't it? It goes straight down through the avenue of trees and then flattens out to a green, which is the greens are big. I suspect in the summer when they get going, when it hasn't been course maintenance, they'll be quick as anything. But you know, you certainly could reach it in two. I made a bit of a muck in my tee shot, but you know, if I'd hit it to the full, I would definitely have reached in two, no problem at all. The water is the big thing. You know, the trees look intimidating, but actually there's a little bit more space than you probably would think. But on the second hole, the comedy moments began. So the second hole is a really short par four. It's over a path. You get a tee shot away and you're left with really not much more than a pitch into the green. But the green is beyond quite an extensive pond. Not a lake as such, but certainly water. Juts out in front of the green. And there's a path there, as said, that a family of four had just walked across, two little kids, and they stopped to watch Mrs. W's attempt to hit the green. And that was fatal, of course, because they all looked on and, yep, she dobbed it straight to the water's edge. Fortunately, it didn't go in. I was pleased with the pitch into it. I made a mess of the putt and consequently got a bogey, which was this bit disappointing. And she somehow managed to dig it out of just right on the edge of the water and got the same score. But the sad people who are watching were clearly disappointed that she didn't do a little bit better with her approach.
As indeed you were too. I noticed that it is stroke index one, which is unusual quite early on in the round, just the second hole to have that really sort of tough challenge. But there you go.
I'm surprised it's stroke index one. I didn't know that because there are many, many harder holes on the course, beginning with the next one, which the tee shot is over the same stretch of water. And I think it's time Mrs. W went to a hypnotherapist, actually, because if there's anything in front of that woman that she suddenly seizes up. But fortunately, on this occasion, it did just about get over the water. Normally, she could drive it over dead easily. But yeah, there's a big stretch of water, trees either side, that's bending around. Bunkers again then come into play. And that's a pretty fearsome hole, is a third. And I was pleased to get away with that one. But there's a lot of the hallmarks of Senos within those first three holes, namely water, trees, bunkers, you know, plenty of that. Exciting holes. But what doesn't come into play there is elevation, and that becomes clear pretty shortly afterwards.
I was going to say, actually, I've misread the website here. The stroke index one is the third hole. The hole that you were talking about, yeah. Number two, over water is only stroke index 13. So that, yeah, that would explain it. As I was going through, I was looking at the yardage or the meterage as it is here. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's a pretty short hole as well. So 350 meters is that stroke index one, but still quite a challenge. But yes, just looking at the pictures, you really get the sense of the elevation changing from the sort of the fourth, fifth holes onwards, yeah?
Yeah, you absolutely do. And the dogleg par 5/4 is actually less than 500 yards. Of course, we had our Garmins on, so they're set to yardage as opposed to metres, because that was confusing the hell out of us, inevitably. But that's one of my favourites. It's a really deceiving hole. Quite a sharp dogleg after the tee. Hit decent drive. And then you're going, you feel like it's not a long way before quite a steep hill, a really steep hill, into a green that's plateaued up. I don't know what the length is going upwards, but I didn't hit it far enough in my second shot, to be honest. And therefore, I got stuck in the bank with my third. I think I'd need to play that quite a few times before I really got used to it. The hole comes immediately afterwards. Now, this is where we really wished we'd had a bogey, because there's a lot of walking going on at Senos, and between the fifth hole or the fourth hole and the fifth, a little bit of a walk, and then you're right on high looking down to a lovely par three with bunkers either side. Club selection absolutely has got to be right, otherwise it's going to slide off the runoffs off the back or go in one of the big bunkers. Beautiful hole, right at the corner of the course. And then there's a really long walk until the sixth, which is a par four over water. But by that time, we were starting to be out of puff. And this is because we'd had a trolley, a push trolley. We felt like we were running off our breakfast by then.
And you were talking about the elevation. Presumably, there's some decent views on this course then, yeah?
Across the course, yeah. As I said, there's lots of really beautiful properties bordering the course. And so you can see all around those. But you can't see much further than that. And that sort of surprised me. I thought you'd be able to almost see out to sea because it's not that far from it. But absolutely no, that's not the case. So it's a beautiful looking course. And you can see some great views across the course. But not much further than that, to be honest.
Okay, so that's a good tip. If you're going to go there, hire a buggy rather than simply marching up these very, very steep hills. Because it's not so much a problem marching up the hills. It's just a long walk in between hills, which can be frustrating. And just going back to what you were saying there about, you know, using your watch to get the yardage, that's so important. The number of times I've played on European courses before the invention of Garmin's and other equipment like that, which gives you a yardage, you're always trying to do that sort of 10% calculation in your head. And it never quite works, does it?
No, and I'm freaked out by a scorecard that says meters on it, I have to say. And so it's total relief when I've got something in my hand that tells me how far it is, because I just can't work it out. I just can't work it out. And we'll come to the 18th in a minute, but that's 666 meters, the devil's hole. So you can imagine how far that is. But everything seems... When when you're given a figure of 320, you think, oh, well, that's not very far. And then you realise it's in metres. So it's an awful lot further than that. And so there's a lot of long holes than you think. Although I have to say, one of my favourite elements of Senos were the short par fours. And the ninth and the tenth were two of those. The ninth is a quirky little hole. I love quirky holes. Around a corner, you have to place a tee shot. Goes up again onto a plateau green. I thought that was terrific. Really, really difficult to judge where you got to put it. Again, I think you'd have to play there a few times to know. The 10th goes the other way round. And again, I mean, I think you could probably get away with a 7 or an iron off the tee to place it to a corner. And you wouldn't be left with much more than a 8 iron into the green. I was pleased with this hole because I got it right. Got a birdie and needed it at that stage because as Mrs. W was hot on my trail.
No halfway hut to talk about?
I think you would stop at the pro shop or the clubhouse, but it's a heck of a walk between the 9th and the 10th. Now, there's also the practice area is actually between, it's sort of down a road which cuts between those two holes. And the whole car park and everything cuts between those two holes. This is where you absolutely needed the buggy. I mean, it was a very long walk between 9 and 10 with a lot of undulation in between. And so apparently the practice area, which we didn't see because we arrived too late, is very good. It certainly has TrackMan according to the website. And we saw a lot of families there. Now, I don't know whether you found this in Europe. What I really like about playing in European countries is the family feel. And I don't think you get that so much here, probably because they're in Mediterranean countries. It's warm, isn't it? But it's a very much a country club sort of feel to it. And there were little kids who'd been clearly on the practice range or having their morning lesson. And so a lot of those around. A lot more women seem to play, which is great. And so it had an absolute, and the clubhouse was awash with the local community. So, it has an absolute family feel. And they had all been down the driving range. But then we skipped across the road, played the 10th. And it says, I got my birdie, which I was pleased with because the tough holes were to come.
Was that the champagne moment of the round?
No, I think the champagne moment's to come yet. So let's, well, we've got a couple of champagne moments and you can pick the bones out of them late in the round, fortunately. So we went on to the 11th. The 11th is absolutely spectacular. So, and please go onto the Gold Pilgrim website because I took some, if I say so myself, some pretty decent photos of this course. It lent itself. The light was great. And the 11th is a superb hole. Its tee looks down onto a par five that stretches through a forest with a menacing pond down the right. There's humps and bumps. There's the side of the water. There's trees absolutely everywhere. And it's a great hole. It's a long hole. I mean, it feels a long hole because of the elevation. But yeah, I was pleased to walk away with the six. Comedy that came really on the 14th. So this is an easy hole. It should be an easy hole. There's a tee going downhill. It cuts through a few trees here and there, but if you keep it away from the right, keep it down the left, left and center, you should be fine for an approach to a green, which is beyond a big pond. It's quite a big pond, but you should have nothing to do with it because there really is nothing beyond the green itself. And there is no excuse not to hit it. Yeah, anyway, Mrs. W and I both went in the water, obviously.
It's funny how that happens sometimes. Just because there is water there, it just catches your eye, doesn't it? Makes you think again, and you're inevitably looking up before you've completed your shot.
I played a shot I just would never play. There would have been a simple 9-iron clip into the green, no trouble at all. Why, I absolutely topped it into the water. Can't remember the last time I topped a shot. And there we were. Yep. But it, like you say, it's inevitable just because it's there. I mean, I would never have topped it if the water hadn't been there. But it's a really pretty hole. And I have to say that about St. Jos. You know, on a day with the sunshine out, which is the one we experienced, it really catches the eye. Very pretty.
Yeah. You know, courses with a lot of water always do just look that extra bit special, especially when the sun is shining, don't they? Anyway, let's move on towards the closing holes because we're eager to hear about your par six.
Yeah, well, the closing holes are great. The last three holes are real belters. The 16th is the longest par three on the course, framed by those gorgeous properties that I talked about. So they're on the right-hand side. Big, big bunker on the left-hand side. A really intimidating hole. Trees also play a part if you go too far, which Mrs. W did. I was really chuffed to find the back of the green on this hole. Managed to get a par out of it and went on. But the most memorable holes were the last two, in my opinion. 17th is a really difficult par four into an angled green. There's the lake in front, densely wooded to the right. And Mrs. W hammered the ball into that dense woodland, had the ball under a branch and needed an up and down just for a point, Stableford Point. And if she'd hit it too hard, the ball was going in the water because that was beyond the flag. So beyond the flag was in the water. In front of the green was very little to play with. She was literally under a branch. She had to hit through a branch, hit the ball, and got it within 6 foot and put the putt in. So well done to her. I thought that was a particularly impressive recovery from a very, very tricky situation. But the 18th, of course, is St. Jos's is feature hole. You know, there's absolutely no doubt about that. So there's a nice picture on the website of the 18th tee schedule, which says par six, handicap four, so stroking it's four, and it's 666 metres from the blacks, 635 metres from the whites, 565 metres, bear in mind, from the yellows, which I was playing off, 561 from the blues, and 529 from the reds. And it goes on and on and on. So even 565 metres off the yellows, just for the Cognoscenti, that's 617 yards, and it goes all uphill to a raised green. So the fairway just snakes on forever. It's littered with bunkers. So if you're going to bunker, that, you know, you're going to get an 8 or a 9 or a 10 even, you know. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But obviously, its primary defence is its sheer blooming length, isn't it?
And how did you get on?
Well, I was just chuffed. So somebody had said to me, somebody I know had played Senos, had said to me, if you hit the green in 4, you've done really well. Well, I didn't. I hit the green in 5, as a matter of fact. But I did put in for a 6, and therefore it is a possibly... No, sorry, tell a lie. It's a par 6. Let me get it right. I put the ball on the green for 5. I 2-put it, and I got a 7. And a 7 sounds ludicrously bad, but it is probably the best bogey I have had in my life. So, yeah, bogey 7 on a par 6, and walked away utterly thrilled. Now, it's a really curious thing, this hole, because... afterwards, we were having a drink outside on the balcony of the clubhouse, looking down, and there were literally 4 lots of 4 playing the same hole, which legitimately, it's not like they were trying to play through each other or anything like that. It goes on for so far that so many people can... So literally 16 people were playing it at the same time.
It did make me wonder when you I knew you were going to be talking about a par 6. So I did Google how many par 6 holes there are around the world. And of course, there are a few. According to the Golf Madness blog, which I'm looking at, the longest one in America is the Meadow Farms Golf Course in Virginia. Their 12th hole from the back tees is 841 yards. There are various other courses that I mentioned as well. There's a par 6 golf hole in the UK. The West Midlands Golf Course has a their 8th hole is called the Devil because off the yellow tees it's 666 yards, but off the blue tees at the back it's 725. And did you know that there is more than one par 7 golf hole in the world? According to the website, Gunsan Country Club in South Korea, off the black tees, it's 1,004 yards.
Oh my God. So hold on a second, but haven't you played the longest hole in the world?
I've played the longest golf course in the world, the Nullarbor Links in South Australia. When I was Sky News Australia correspondent, and I heard about the opening of this golf course, which is strung between two very distant towns over 1,000 miles apart along the Nullarbor Highway. And there's basically nothing there. So to try to liven it up and get tourists to go to the area, they built a golf hole sort of every 100 miles or so, 50 miles, 100 miles, whatever. And I was able to play the first 5 holes of that. Took all day to do that. And it made a lovely film for Sky News. We really enjoyed doing it. Some of the holes were in existing golf courses at either end. Some of them were not on greens, but there was sort of oiled greens, you know, the diesel made with oil because the grass doesn't really grow in the heat. And some of the other greens are artificial, but it does go on for rather a long time. And you can play it over sort of several days or during the course of your journey. But none of the holes themselves are particularly long. It's just you need more than a buggy to get in between the holes. You need to jump into your car and or your lorry or your truck, whatever you're driving, to get between them. But yeah, an interesting experience.
Fabulous. Well, we enjoyed Senos enormously, but I have to say, par sixes, not for me. I just thought it was too long, and certainly at the end of a day when we hadn't had a buggy, and we walked round a course with many a hill, we were just knackered by the time we got to the start of it, let alone the finish. And it was a bit of a trudge. So looks great. It's a nice selling point. I'm sure people will want to tick it off accordingly. And by the way, this course is in the top 50 of continental Europe. I think France is a really underrated place to play golf. And it's not expensive. You know, that's for such a high-rated golf course to come in at, most days you can get it at the right, at certain times of day you can get it at less than €100. I think that's pretty good. So I'd heartily recommend going with that. Combine it with a trip to Gibraltar, I thought that was terrific as well. So well worth it.
So big thumbs up for Senos. Hopefully we'll make a return to some of the other great courses in France during the course of subsequent episodes of the Golf Pilgrim podcast. But for now, it's goodbye from me in London.
And goodbye from me, and see you on the next day.